Let us open our Bibles again at Luke's Gospel, chapter 23. We will be looking at these verses that we read, and if I will put a title on the message tonight, in which I have, it is just simply, Lord, remember me. Lord, remember me. I would like you just to come with me this evening and visit Calvary. We're going to Golgotha. We're going to see something really special that happened at Calvary. And as we go and we look, and we see there are three crosses, each cross bearing a man. There they are, three crosses, with a man on each cross. We see plenty of activity. People are running here, there, and yonder. People are walking. People are giving orders. There's so much of activity around these crosses. Who do we see there? Well, there's the centurions. Oh, yes, you can see them all dressed up in their special regalia. Oh yes, they were in charge of men who were there. Who else was there? There was the chief priests. Oh, anything going on, they had to be there. There they were, looking on Calvary's mountain. And who else did we see? Oh yes, the Pharisees and the scribes. They were there. Oh, they were doing their work that they had done a short time previously. Talking to the people. Getting them all stirred up. We also see the soldiers there. Oh, they had a work. They were very busy. They were all going about and obeying the commands of the centurions. They were getting everything in order. Making sure that these three men on the three crosses would die. Who else do we see? You see the passers-by. People who just came. Maybe they were just in the city just for the day. And then there's maybe just people who would come, as we say at home, just for a nosy around. You know, we all can be nosy at times. I remember in the time of the Troubles, if there was a bomb went off in the middle of the night or any time, you would have heard it because it went off regular. And we were that nosy that we would get the radio and we would turn on into the police frequency. Then we would see where the place was. And then we would go, no matter what time it was. Many people were gathered around, passers-by. Many people would have gathered at that time. And it's just here we have these passers-by, just seeing, well, what was going on. We see that they were enjoying themselves. Oh, they were shouting. They were mocking. They were saying all things, so we see that they're enjoying themselves. Why is it that people enjoy things about death? Can't understand it at times. We just look at our television sets and how the most popular programs of all is when people are dying. When we look at the cowboy pictures, people are dying left, right and center. We see other dramas and different things, the mortars that go on. People seem to enjoy the people dying. But then we also see other people. We see friends of the man in the Santa Cross. And they were somewhat different. You could have seen that their hearts were grieving. Yes, their hearts are grieving. You can see it in their faces. You can see the tears coming down their cheeks. Their heads are bowed, they're burdened with sorrow. Because a man who was with them, some for 3.5 years, some of them for less, was now about to die. Oh, they were sad. But let us look a wee bit more closely at the three crosses. We're going to look at the Santa Cross first of all. We'll see it to someone special there. He was the one that for this last 3.5 years went about preaching and teaching and performing great and wonderful miracles. We read in the Sermon on the Mount how he taught the people. And he told them about heaven. And he told them what he spoke more about was about a lost eternity. He told them plain and clear that there's only two ways, heaven or hell. The only way was through himself. Oh, how he taught the people and how he preached. Remember one of my I have many favourite characters in the scripture, but Nicodemus. And I always like to mention that great verse in John 3 and verse 16 and verse 17. I always love these verses. In a place where I worked, my last job was in a farm, and there was a big sign which used to be on a football ground and put it down, and there's a new one picked up, and they took the old one and we put it right along the crush in the barn, and where all the cattle would be put into, and everybody could see it, John 3 and verse 17. But here we have Nicodemus coming to the Lord Jesus Christ by night, and they talk together, and the Lord Jesus said, and ye must be born again. And he said to Nicodemus, that the Father has sent me, that I am his son. I've come to give life to the lost. There we read in verse 16, for God so loved the world, that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For Christ Jesus did not come into the world to condemn the world, but through him the world might be saved. Oh, how wonderful were these words from the Savior himself, the Lord Jesus Christ. And we also see John the Baptizer, when he was baptized, and he saw the Lord Jesus Christ coming to him. And what did he say? Behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. We taught the people. And he done great and wonderful miracles. He made the lame walk. He made the blind see. He made the deaf hear. And how even he raised the dead unto life. Think of Lazarus. Think of the young boy in the fire. Oh yes, this was some special person, the Lord Jesus Christ. We just look just above his head and we see a superscription. This is the King of the Jews. Oh yes, this was a special man. We'll come a wee bit closer. And we'll see that all this activity is round the Santa Cross. There don't seem to be much around the other two crosses. But this center cross was something special. We see his head. We see a crown of thorns. Those big thorns. And how I'm sure they pushed them down on the head, the pain. We also see in his hands nails, and his feet nails to the cross. We see the suffering and the agony he was going through. Oh, how he suffered. The Son of God suffered on that cross of Calvary. We see his beatings. We see the people mocking him. If he be the Son of God, let him come down from the cross. We see Isaiah's prophecy as we read in Isaiah chapter 53. He was wounded for our transgressions. Oh, how we see in that center cross the Lord Jesus Christ dying for sinners. But now we'll just have we look at the other two crosses now. We see the other two, and there was two thieves. Well, no one was really interested in these two men. Only the men themselves. And then one of the thieves said unto Jesus, there again, if thou be Christ, save thyself and us. Oh, they were just, this thief was just worried about his body. He wasn't worried about his soul. He had no spiritual thought because it was hid from him. He didn't understand it. His eyes weren't open to the gospel. And there, he wanted Christ to come down. You know, Satan wanted Christ to come down from the cross. Because if Christ had come down from the cross, he could have called 10,000 angels, but he didn't. But if he had come down from the cross, Satan could say, oh, well, where's the prophecy now? Because God promised Satan in the Garden of Eden that he would bruise his head, that he would be defeated. If Christ hadn't died on the cross in Calvary, oh, Satan would have had the glory. But you see, the Lord Jesus Christ, as he hung on that cross. But let us look for a few moments at the other thief. And we see him. He was different. Seemed to have more compassion in his heart. And first thing that we see about him, it was, we see a sin. He was born a sinner. It's just like the rest of us. For we all are born in sin and shapen in iniquity. We're lost sinners. And I'm sure this thief's parents, when he was born, would have had him in his arms. People would have come in and to see him. And were saying, oh, what a lovely wee boy he is. Oh, he's lovely. But now when he grew up, he became a thief. And there he is. He did not care about other people. Otherwise, he wouldn't have stolen from them. He was a thief. He was a sinner. Then, secondly, we see his situation. He was facing death, just like the other thief. And of course, we all have to die. Every one of us. But you see, we're spiritually dead because of sin. Here was a man who was heading for a lost eternity, like all unsaved sinners. What a place that is. A place where the worm doth not, and the fire is not quenched. Place of torment forever and ever. Oh, people don't preach about hell the same now. For it is a reality because the Bible speaks about it. The Lord Jesus Christ speaks about it. The disciples have warned about it. Oh, there is such a place. This is where this man was heading. And he was at his very weakest. Oh, he had hung on that cross. He was weak. What was he going to do? Well, he hadn't very many choices, had he? No. He was dying on that cross. Then he heard the other thief railing on the Lord Jesus Christ. And he said to them, we are on the same condemnation. We are going to die. But we justly deserve to die because we were thieves. But this man is a just man. He doesn't deserve to die on the cross on a Calvary. Oh, that's his situation. But we also see his submission. In saying that, he knew he lost his state. He knew he was a sinner. And of course he knew he wouldn't be going to heaven. But then he saw something wonderful. He saw the Lord Jesus Christ. He saw his holiness. He saw that he truly was the Son of God. And he knew that R, who Christ was. He knew he was a lost sinner. And he knew he couldn't save himself. But his eyes were opened. And he could see that the Lord Jesus Christ could save him. Yes, Jesus could save him. And he cried out. He had just gone as far as he could. He cried out as a poor old sinner, O Lord, remember me when I comest into thy kingdom. Oh, he submitted himself. He could just go no further. Then we see his salvation. Jesus heard his cry of repentance. Christ knew his heart. He saved his soul from hell. And what a great assurance that the Lord Jesus Christ gave to that dying thief. He says, today thou shalt be with me in paradise. He didn't say in a few years. No. Christ was about to die himself. Soon his spirit would be in heaven and his body would be in his new sepulchre. But there has he cried. What great assurance that he received. In a short time he would be in heaven with Christ. Oh, Christ died. He is only sacrifice for sin. But we look at these two thieves. As they hung on those crosses at either side of the Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ. How the both of them, they had the same opportunity, hadn't they? The same opportunity. But only one of them cried unto the Lord. Lord opened his eyes that he could see the Saviour. Oh, how we can testify of the dying thief on the cross. What a great testimony that is. And for the remainder of the meeting, I'm sure you wonder how I had stopped so quickly, but there's a reason for that. In my track work at home, I've been doing now for 40 years in September, we used to at night would have read a gospel tract to the boys when they were young. They would put them to bed and would read them a tract. And this was one of the tracts that I would have read to them. It is a wonderful testimony. It is a true account. And I'm going to read it to you just now. And I'm going to take the place as a name, Nordenberg. M. Nordenberg. This was a man's name who wrote this tract. He was from Finland, and he was a Finnish engineer. I offered my services to the government and was appointed an officer in General Mannerheim's army. It was a terrible time. We besieged a town which had been taken by the Red Army and retook it. A number of Russian prisoners were under my guard, and 7 of them were to be shot at dawn on Monday. I will never forget the preceding Sunday. The 7 men were kept in the basement of the town hall, and in the passage, my men stood attention with their rifles. The atmosphere was filled with hatred. My soldiers were drunk with success and taunted their prisoners, who swore and beat on the walls with their bleeding fists. Others called for their wives and children who were far away. At dawn, they were all to die, just like the thief on the cross. We had a victory, that was true enough. But the value of this seemed to diminish as the night advanced. Then something happened. One of the men doomed to death began to sing. "He is mad," was everybody's first thought. But I had noticed that this man, Costigan, had not raved and cursed. Quietly, he sat on his bench. A picture of utter despair. Nobody said anything to him. Each was carrying their own burden in his own way. Costigan sang rather waverly at first. Then his voice grew stronger and became more natural and free. All the prisoners turned and looked at him as he sang. "Safe in the arms of Jesus, safe on his gentle breast, there by his love overshaded, sweetly my soul shall rest. Hark, 'tis the voice of angels, born in a song to me, over the fields of glory, over the jasper sea." Over and over again he sung that verse, and when he had finished, every one was quiet for a few minutes. Until a wild-looking man broke out with, "Where did you get that, you fool? Are you trying to make us religious?" Costigan looked at his comrades with tear-filled eyes as he quietly said, "Comrades, will you listen to me for a minute? You asked me where I got this song. It was from the Salvation Army. I heard it 3 weeks ago. My mother sang about Jesus and prayed to him." He stopped a little while, as if to gather strength. Then he rose to his feet, being the soldier that he was, looked straight in front of him and continued, "It is cowardly to hide your beliefs. The God of my mother believed in is now my God. I cannot tell how it happened. I lay awake last night and suddenly saw my mother's face before me. And it reminded me of the song that I heard. I felt I had to find the Savior and hide in him. Then I prayed like the thief on the cross. I just prayed that Christ would forgive me and cleanse my sinful soul and make me ready to stand before him whom I should meet so soon. It was a strange night. There were times when everything seemed to shine around about. Verses from the Bible and the songbook came to my mind. They brought messages of the crucified Saviour and the blood that cleanses from sin and the home he has prepared for us. I thanked him and accepted him. And since then, this verse has been sounding inside me. It was God's answer to my prayer. I could no longer keep it to myself. Within a few hours, I shall be with the Lord, sealed by grace, just like the thief on the cross. Crossed face shone as if an inward light. His comrades sat there quietly. He himself stood there transfixed. My soldiers were listening to what this red revolutionary had to say. "You were right, Costigan," said one of his comrades at last. "If only I knew there was mercy for me too. But these hands of mine have shed blood. I have reviled God and trampled on all that is holy. Now I realize that there is a hell, and that there is a proper place for me." He sank to the ground with despair in his face. "Pray for me, Costigan," he groaned. "Tomorrow I shall die and my soul will be in the hands of the devil." These two Russian soldiers went down on their knees and prayed for each other. It was no long prayer, but it reached heaven, and we who listened to it forgot our hatred. It melted in the light of heaven, for there were two men who were soon to die, seeking reconciliation with their God. Door leading onto the visible stood ajar. We were entranced by the sight. Let me tell you shortly, by the time it was 4 o'clock, all Costigan's comrades had followed his example and began to pray. The change in the atmosphere was indescribable. Some of them sat on the floor, some on the benches, some wept quietly, others talked about spiritual things. None of us had a Bible, but the Spirit of God spoke to us all. Then someone remembered those at home, and there followed an hour of intense letter writing. Confession and tears were in those letters. The night had almost gone and the day was dawning. No one had a moment's sleep. "Sing the song once again for us, Costigan." One of them, "You should have heard them sing. Not only that song, but verses and choruses long forgotten. The soldiers on guard united with them. The power of God had touched them. Everything had changed. And the venerable town hall's basement resounded in that early morning hour with the songs of the blood of the Lamb. The clock struck 6, and how I wished I could beg grace for these men. But I knew that this was impossible. Between 2 rows of soldiers, they marched out to the place of execution. One of them asked to be allowed to sing Costigan's song once again, and permission was granted. Then they asked to be allowed to die with uncovered faces, and with hands to heaven, they sang with might and main, safe in the arms of Jesus. When the last line had died out, the lieutenant gave the word, fire. The 7 soldiers fought their last fight, just like the thief on the cross. What has happened in the hearts of the others, I do not know. But as far as I was concerned, I was a new man from that hour. I had met Christ in one of the lowliest and youngest disciples. And I had seen enough to realize that I too could be his. What a great testimony. That man remembered the thief on the cross and how there was mercy for him. even though you're about to die. Not everybody gets a death whenever they're dying. Because whenever a person's sick and they're dying, they don't want to read the scriptures. They're not able to understand. Though a deathbed for this thief on the cross, he was awake, he knew. He knew it was Christ who died on the cross in Calvary. And how wonderful it is when you read that testimony of Mr. Costigan. And how it was through his mother that he heard. And how important it is for mothers to take from fathers to teach their children, grandchildren, the gospel. That man has long forgot, but children's work is so important. Always be singing. That man remembered a song, safe in the arms of Jesus. And through that, when he realized he was a lost sinner, always quote the verses of scripture, sing hymns, because sometime they will come to their memories. The word of God doesn't return to them void. And how that man, because of his mother's faithfulness, was able to cry upon God and even to point others to the Lord Jesus Christ. What a great testimony that man was. He was only a Christian for a few hours, yet he pointed six others to the Lord Jesus Christ. Do pray, anyone's not saved, this is a prayer and desire of my heart. As a gospel preacher, I have to give this invitation to come unto Christ. Come and be saved. Repent of your sin. Forsake your sin. And be like Mr. Costigan. Be like the thief on the cross. And come as a sinner to Christ.